Welcome back to the RDG Show, starring your hosts, Rick, aka Ricky Bobby, and Dynamite David, with Sir Grinch, and guest starring Jordy Donis. Jordy is the founder and owner of the exclusive detailing service LA Auto Pros. For more information on LA Auto Pros services, please visit www.laautopros.org. The RDG Show is pre-recorded and is available on all audio platforms. Check out the links in the description. If you are new to the channel, make sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment below. Also, don't forget to click on the notification button so you don't miss any of our videos. Now, enjoy the show. Well, yeah, we finally did it. We got rid of David. Thanks, Jordy, for filling the void.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
But no, I mean, you know what I just saw this morning was the... Magic Johnson apparently invested like, I think it's $100,000 okay. into small businesses. I think giving out like loans and stuff like that because of obviously, you know, where everything's shutting down and stuff like that. So I think it's only
$100 million.
$100 million.
Yeah,
he said only.
I was way off.
That's
a big number. It's a big difference.
Offers $100 million in loans to minority-owned businesses.
Yeah, minority. What I read is minority and women-owned businesses.
Oh, this is from CNBC.
From where?
CNBC.
Yeah, they're credible. So we'll go with that.
All right.
It's kind of weird, and at the same time, very, very generous, but. Yeah. I'm guessing he has a lot of money to be able to be doing that stuff.
I'm surprised he's still alive. But well, I guess when you've got that kind of money, you can pretty much, you know.
He's been investing for quite some time now, so I'm pretty sure his net worth is pretty big.
Yeah, well, he's had HIV for like ever, right?
Forever.
And it's money that's been keeping it a bay.
I don't know. Did he get it when it was like in the height of its popularity, when it was like the in thing to get? You know what I mean? I think it was like during the 80s.
The in thing to get, but... Was it ever in?
I mean, it's a joke. It was like there was a time where it was like really blowing up, and like everybody. It was like during the late '80s or like the '80s and like the early '90s.
That was really like the best time to get it, or
that like everybody was sort of getting, and everyone was like freaking out about it, and they're like, just "Don't have sex," and they're telling college kids like, "Don't have sex." Like they're being more like serious about it and trying to get more people using the protection and shit like that to like bring it down. It was like, you know, just like COVID. Except it was a little bit more fun.
Just like COVID.
And no mask.
No mask, but you gotta... You're wrapping up, you know.
So you are wrapping something
up. You gotta wrap something up.
You gotta stop the spread. There you go. As they say.
I know. We gotta get some
drops
in here. Get something up in
here. Get some drops prepared.
Shoot, we can use a shoebox and a stick. That'll be good enough.
There you go.
Or just speed it up in post or something.
That is pretty cool. I wonder what
kind of drove him to
prompted
do it?
That. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to look into it a little bit, but I can't find much on it. Why would he want to?
It was only like it was like an hour or 2 hours ago, and it had just been posted like 10 hours ago. So I'm guessing it was like yesterday afternoon when that came out.
I mean, well, it says here that CEO of Magic Johnson Enterprises collaborated with MBE Capital Partners to offer $100 million in loans and to minority and women-owned companies hurt by stay-at-home orders, California, due to COVID-19. The loans were funded through his Equitrust life insurance company. So it looks like he wasn't the only one to put up all the money, but still doesn't take away from how cool it is. But he was in collaboration with MBE Capital Partners. So, whoever they are. Good on you guys.
Yeah, shout out to them.
They definitely secure something there.
Which now it's like kind of impossible. Not only just to keep a job, but have a business. Own a business.
Oh, it's rough, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's got to be rough.
It's definitely tough right now.
Which you've been able to not only have financial stability, but also... make your own business.
So when COVID hit, I actually got slightly sick, so I did take some time off. When the whole thing said, everyone said,
"Where's your mask? Where's your mask?"
Yeah, for real. they basically said they furloughed me and a lot of salespeople. It was about 30 sales, a sales team of about 30 people, including
internet. Where were you working before?
For Ford in Sunrise. Sunrise Ford in
Nome. Oh, Ford, like a dealer?
Yeah, the dealership.
Cool.
And I was part of the internet sales team, and basically everyone got a letter saying, hey, certain day is your last day. I was already actually at home because I had been sick.
Oh, they started laying people off?
So they started laying people off or furloughing them, and I got a letter. Oh, I actually, prior to getting the letter, I got a call from my GM. He's like, hey, you know, I don't want you to worry. You know, you're one of my top players. I'm like, he's like, when everything else opens up again, I'm going to call you back. He's like, just stay on standby. So...
And that was before when people thought it was only going to be
a couple weeks or two weeks. Like, it was very small. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's fine. I'm sick. There's nothing much I can do about it. Yeah. I just stay home. Then I got the letter, and he called me a week later. No, I called him. I'm like, hey, so what's the situation? Like, I really want to know what's going on. Like, I'm good to go. Like, I'm ready to work. He's like, hey, well, we actually furloughed basically the whole sales team and basically everyone in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, because people weren't coming in to see cars.
Yeah. No one was coming in to see cars. And the people that were coming in to see cars were just literally coming to see cars, which I thought was kind of weird, because is everyone's sick. Why would you even want to be out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fast forward a little bit. No, I wasn't working, but I had sold a vehicle, a Mustang, to a friend of mine the year prior, and he had a detailing business, a very small business. And, you know, I sold him the car, and we built a relationship, and I decided to invest a little bit of money. So I invested, and I kept working, you know, months passed, and then that's when I got sick. And I was out of work. I had to sign up for unemployment, so I signed up for unemployment. But me being the person I am, I just can't stay home and do nothing. And I understand that there was, you know, the stay-at-home requirements and everything like that. So I did stay home for the most of it, but after a while, I just couldn't stay home. Especially with unemployment, it wasn't going to pay the bills that I had to pay. It's very... Yeah, the amount of unemployment money that I received, I don't know what everybody else received, but what I'm receiving is not even enough to get me through a week. Like, the lifestyle I live in, where kind of the things I'm doing do not allow me to do, like, live off of that. So I had to figure out a way to make money.
And it's expensive out here, just in general.
It's ridiculously expensive. Oh, yeah. I still live with my parents. I'm 26 year old, living with my parents up in South Central. Like, it's ridiculously expensive. So I got in touch with the guy I invested money into, right? I said, hey, you know, I'm looking for work. You know, I'm willing to, you know, take any appointments that you have. Like, I know you're handling them, but I know that you can't take more appointments because, well, you actually start your job really early and are off at 4 p.m. How about you start scheduling appointments prior to when you get off? So I'll handle them. He said, okay, cool. And I had already detailing experience for about 3 years. Like, I had, you know, from detailing my cars, family members' cars, my dad's car. Like, I always help my dad out. I said, yeah, cool. So I started taking up his appointments.
Do you want to... How are you without glasses, though?
Are you I'm comfortable without glasses. Yeah.
Do you want to take them off? Because it's coming in a lot. Right?
Yeah. I figured, yeah.
Do you want
to... I can't see much, but I can still talk.
Oh, that's fine.
This is basically right. The most important part.
I might throw things at you here and there. If you say something I don't like, I'll just...
Yeah,
but I won't warn you. Yeah, it'll be fun, though.
Okay, cool. So...
Detailing.
Yeah, detailing... I ended up calling him. He said, hey, yeah, that's fine. You know, let's work on it. You know, I trust you. You invested in my money. There's some trust that you have in me, so I'll trust you. So I came in.
Was he doing this on his own?
He was doing this with another of his friends, but from he was telling me, his other friend was kind of like out of the game, like wasn't putting in the time or effort to build the business. And he saw him as someone that was just kind of, it was just, it's like a chain and ball type of thing. Like he was there when he needed him the most, and like almost begging him to help him out, but he wasn't there to like take care of regular day-to-day things.
So he was practically doing it on his own.
Basically. And, you know, he kind of knew what kind of person I am. You know, I'm a salesperson. I wasn't always a salesperson, but you learn, you know. And so he took me out. He's like, yeah, start taking appointments. So I started taking appointments, maybe 2 or 3 day appointments a day. Very easy washes, you know, very simple things, you know, detailing.
Oh, yeah. I've detailed a lot of cars myself.
Yeah, it's a lot of manual labor.
Yeah, it's not bad. After a while, you can sort of, like, just go on autopilot, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah. You get your process down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you did it for how long?
Oh, God. Forever. Just my whole life.
Oh, you did it too? Oh, yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How long did you do it for?
Well, my dad's got a car shop, So I don't remember what year he like opened it, but like, you know, we moved here to the US and then they started working, and then sometime in my childhood, whatever, he opened his place up. And then as a kid, you know, going and visiting him all the time, I just sort of started working myself and stuff for him. So then after he sold out, he was like, oh, look, you got a little... It wasn't like slave labor or anything. Like, he paid me or anything. Yeah, but like, once he learned that like I was willing to work, he's like, okay, motherfucker, you're going to work. So
yeah, exactly, like, yeah. That's where they take advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I've been in a situation like that.
Because your dad worked...
But it's cool, though.
Well, my dad was actually came here as an illegal, so he jumped the border and everything and just... Picked up a job and just has been working ever since.
You're over 30 years. You're Mexican?
Guatemalan. My parents are Guatemalan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And same thing with my mom.
Oh, you're Guatemalan too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, like I have. That's one thing I'm happy about my like, for Hispanic people, they're known for working really hard and specifically Mexicans, but but all Hispanics work really hard. And you know, that's one of the biggest things that always I feel sets me apart from every other detailer that comes around. Anybody can wash a car.
Yeah, of course.
Anybody can pass a vacuum. Anybody can throw water, throw soap on a car. Anybody can dry a car. The thing is how you treat the customer. Look, I know a lot of detailers that have been detailing for over a decade. But are constantly looking for a new car to wash. They're constantly promoting. They're constantly marketing for a new customer to come on and do a job. Mm-hmm. I don't work that way. I don't promote. I don't do any of that. I've had the same customers I've had since the beginning, and it's only grown from there. I've lost two customers. One customer actually moved to Houston after literally moved away 3 weeks ago, and I was maintaining two of his vehicles. Another one moved out to, like, on the east side. I just don't want to go over there. I'm in, like, on the South LA area. I barely want to come to, like, the Santa Monica area, you know? So those are the only two people that I have left. The rest of the people, I literally picked up either offering them a free wash and just raising my price as I went. Because that's how I started. Because after I left, me and the guy ended up having a falling out. He had an idea for his business, and I had an idea for my like my business.
As it happens, yeah. At least it happened, yeah.
Good thing is that, you know, we still have that relationship. We're still, you know, friends. He gives me clients, I give him clients and stuff like that. And at the same time, for me, I like working like this because I don't like having a boss. Like, I've always worked around having a boss, you know?
Yeah, fucking boss.
And, you know, following a process is good. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with following a process. It's made me a lot of money making following the process. But I just wanted to try something new. I've always been that risk taker. I left LA Fitness. I was doing perfectly fine at LA Fitness. And I decided...
Yeah, because you had, like, various jobs and... Yeah, all of them are kind of like not related.
None of them are related. My first job was fucking... I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
We curse all the time. It's fine.
Yeah, my first job was installing... I worked at a tire, my uncle's tire shop. I would get paid $100 for the week. I was 15 or 16 years old. I got $100 for the week.
$100 a week.
That's what I got.
That's pretty good.
And I worked out in the sun, putting tires on. And in my books, I'm 15, 16 years old. I can use $100.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I can use $100. Hell yeah. Especially the mentality that I had when I was that young. Like, I remember once I turned 18, I maxed out my car. Like, I did a lot of things that I look back at. I'm like, I'm glad I did them when I was that young.
Yeah, I mean, how many of your friends were working, like, really working in high school, you know, during high school, right? I was one of the very few of my friends that I actually, like, was working. Like, some people try to, like... give you sugar, like, oh, you're working for your family. It's like, bitch, go work one day for this fucking guy. Exactly. Tell me how fucking easy it is. Yeah. Everyone thinks, like, okay, it's an easy
You're working for your dad, or you're working for him. That's easy.
Bitch, like,
it's not easy. Work is work at the end of the day. And unfortunately, my parents never made life easier for me. If anything, my mom was always the type of mom that would wake me up, or, you know, would make food or something like that. And I would complain or say something very irrelevant or very immature. And it was like, one day I'm not going to be here. Who's going to do it for you? And now that's all I think about. Mm-hmm. You know, I turned 21 and all I think about is one day my parents are going to be gone. And who's going to do it for me? And that's kind of like how I live by now. I don't rely on anybody to make me food or do any of that shit. I'm old. but I still see a lot of
you're things. Not old. You're 20. Would you say 26? Okay. I'll start.
Okay, well, there's 26-year-olds out there that are still having their breakfast made, their lunch and dinner made by their mom, having their laundry made, have no bills to pay, still complain about paying bills, and play video games all day, and then complain about the situation that they're in.
Yep. I think you see that more here than anywhere else.
What do you mean?
In LA, at least for...
Oh, in LA?
Oh. Yeah, because... What did you say?
Oh, I said in LA. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Because we were just talking a little bit ago about like being on Instagram and then seeing people.
Yeah.
It's like I follow, or vice versa, whatever, people from high school, and I'm like, what exactly are you doing? And most of them are just still either like... I think we've talked about it in another episode where we were like, you know, if you kind of don't get out of this place, so you only live in this bubble, that you get so used to it that there is no, you almost have like kind of no ambition. You're just going
I don't know if I like to blame your surroundings on that, because it is that to an extent, but it also still comes down to like individual drive too.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you're just stuck in one, it's very easy to get comfortable.
Yeah.
To where, like, if you don't go anywhere, you're not trying to do anything, you're not taking any risk.
Yeah.
And it's safe to, like, stay at home, have somebody do all these things for you.
Yes.
There is no ambition for you to do anything more for yourself.
Exactly. Like, in the beginning when, like, the whole stay-at-home order had came into place, I was like, yeah, I can stay home. That's no big. Like, you know, you just got to stay home. But then the longer I stayed, I'm like, okay, this has gone on for a long time. Like, I get it, people need to stay home, but like, I would go outside, and there's a whole wide world, a thriving world outside where everyone's working, you know, everyone's
doing their thing. The rest of America.
The rest of America's working, you know, and I'm sitting at home struggling to pay my truck note or pay insurance or pay my mortgage for the house, and people are chilling at home, living off of unemployment comfortably, and I'm just like, how are you doing this? Like, I wish I could be like that.
Yeah, I never really got... How much are people getting for, like, unemployment that are able to, like, still be comfortable?
I think I talked to a couple of people that are just like, yeah, that's how I've been, like...
Yeah, well, it varies from what I understand. It varies. Yeah. There's people that are getting as little as $137 paycheck, which is...
It's also
a big
part of, like, if you have kids and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't able to apply for it because you have to be, like, resident, mm-hmm. I guess, and you have to pay into it through your taxes of like working and stuff. So, and I just moved here, so I wasn't able to like actually get into it. So I don't actually know the numbers of like whatever anybody's getting.
It just varies depending on how much money you made the prior year.
Yeah.
How much California values your input to this organization that we're mm-hmm. California, right. And depending on how much you invest, how much you put into this state, they'll basically give you back.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of how it works.
I saw those applications. I'm like, you have not been a contributing member
of this society. Exactly. People just want to get rich quick, and it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. What have you contributed to?
And that's kind of the issue, too, is like, that's why like they have so many like regulations and stuff like that, because people do take advantage of it just because it's like, well, it's easy money.
Yeah.
And I can live comfortably for right now.
Exactly.
Why not? And that's one of the things I think that...
And it didn't help that everybody got a $1,200 stimulus check.
Oh, yeah.
That just made everyone more comfortable.
Everyone is now waiting for the second one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all they want. That's all they're talking about, waiting for the second stimulus check. You know what I did with that stimulus check? I literally reinvested that to get my ball rolling into the business. And you know how I started working? I literally went door to door in an expensive area, in a different demographic, because I can't get what I want to get in the area that I live in. So I literally had to go a different demographic and literally knock door to door and say, hey, I'll give you a free wash. No one gives a free wash. That's what they would tell me. Okay, then. Oh, I won't give you a free wash. Just give me whatever you feel like getting me. And if you want me to continue servicing you, I can continue doing that. Another great thing that I learned, hop on another franchise. There's so many huge car wash franchises that are like DoorDash. They just give you orders and you go do them.
Mm-hmm.
But they pay you so little, but it gives you an opportunity. It gives you an opportunity to present yourself, build value with the customer, build a relationship with the customer. And that's all you really need when it comes to it. You only need one person to say yes on one day. You see five people, one of them says yes, that gives you another client. You realistically only need 30 to 40 clients a month, working 3 to 4 hours a day when you're cashing out.
Sounds like a guy who really likes customer service, who really appreciates it and puts.
No, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely about customer service because that's the kind of business that I've been in. Like sales, it was customer service, listening to the customer, what the customer wants. You never want to sell a customer something that they don't want. Like, you wouldn't go into an LA Fitness and say, I want a bagel. You go into LA Fitness because you want a membership. Yeah, or you want to try out the gym, but that, come on, try out the gym? Anybody watching right now can say, you don't try out it. Every gym is the same. You don't like the people there, you're living in the wrong demographic. Yeah. You're living in the wrong demographic because the people that are going to that gym are in your demographic. They're all paying the same amount that you're paying because you guys live in that. So why would someone else from a different demographic come to that gym? It wouldn't make any sense. I wouldn't drive from Inglewood all the way to downtown to go to LA Fitness there. Why would I go there when I have one down the street? And everyone that goes there is in my demographic because I live around that area. Yeah. So if you don't like the gym that you're going to, it's probably because you don't like your demographic. You don't like where you're living.
Self-hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe Planet Fitness has pizzas on Friday.
Planet
Fitness.
Yeah. That's something I never understood. Look,
damn,
I had...
God damn it.
At some point, I had all three gym memberships. I had 24.
At the same time?
I had Planet and I had LA Fitness. I like Planet Fitness because it opened really early, and it was clean. 24 hours, open 24 hours, but it was always dirty, yeah, and the gym was always old.
Yeah, like, because I used to be a member at Planet Fitness, too, mm-hmm. but it was like... Yeah, it was always really clean, but it was just such a... Like, not a good place to work out.
Yeah, the mentality.
The environment.
Yeah, the ambience. Yeah.
God forbid you should slam your weights because you're tired or something, and then they turn on that stupid fucking alarm and try to embarrass you, but everybody's pretty much on the same page. Like, shut the fuck up with this thing. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know, but they're still trying to do their little, hey, everybody,
what
take it easy.
The clunk alarm or something like that?
Clunk alarm? Yeah. Clunk alarm? Some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So stupid. No, so childish.
It is very childish. I mean, I guess they're telling... See, that's when it comes into the specific thing about what you're telling your business to. Like, what kind of customers do you want? Like, Planet Fitness has established that what kind of clients they want. They want clients that don't make noise. Yeah. And it goes into the same kind of, like...
Don't care about fitness.
Yeah, they don't
care. Yeah, yeah.
You're giving free pizzas
on Fridays. They promote fitness, but then on the back of the promotion, they'll throw in a bagel or a cookie or something like that.
Sign up for $10 a month, you get a free bagel and a pizza every Friday.
So you know what kind of demographic they're going for, right? And then, or what kind of mentality they're going for. And it's the same thing with detailing, you know? There's people that will only pay you $25 for a wash. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, my guy charges me $25. How much do you charge? And I tell them how much I charge. They're like, why do you charge so much? I'm like, because this is my time and this is what I value my job at. He's like, well, my friend, my guy charges $25. I'm like, oh, so continue with your friend.
Yeah, dude.
And he's like, well, I want you to do it. I'm like, the reason you want me to do it is because you're unhappy with the current detailer you have, but you're unwilling to pay more. Right?
They want to do that whole...
Yeah, you got to call them out. Yeah.
Match...
Price match. Sorry, man. This is
I give you a coupon from him.
Can you imagine? You don't go to Target and negotiate a price on milk.
You might. You might be able to.
And if you're that able to. And if you are that kind of person, I don't want any of your business.
Yeah.
That's as simple. What I've learned, another thing I've learned is...
But that's a great thing about like having your own business too, is you get to pick your clientele.
That's my biggest thing. Like, I've had a lot of people, like I was just mentioning, a lot of people come up to me, can you wash my car? I'll pay you this. No, thank you. Why not? I don't want your business. I don't work for that.
Yeah.
But why not? Oh, but simple. I do not work for the amount that you want. If I take this job, you're asking me to only get paid $10 for the hour. But that's money. I'm like, yeah, it is money. But I'm not starving and... Yeah. I have other ways I can make money. Like you, everyone thinks that there's only one way of making money here. There's jobs everywhere. I just got an Indeed. I have three interviews that I can go for if I want to take them. Right? It's just people don't want a job right now.
Yeah,
don't want a job.
Yeah, it's kind of weird in the place that the pandemic put us, where it's just like, oh, it's everyone staying at home or stuff like that. So everybody's just like, we'll just, especially when it began, it's like, oh, we'll just wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
Which... apparently has failed.
Yeah, it's 9 months later. We're still waiting around. Or people are still waiting around.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to see, like in your case, you couldn't stay at home just because it's that urge to like, I need to do something. I got to do something.
I was working 13, 14-hour days and working my days off. Like, you're going to take that away from me and the amount that I was making at Ford as a salesperson? You're going to try to tell me I can't work? But yet... the people, but yet the media is not doing anything about what you should do to stay healthy.
No,
no one's talking about exercise. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about supplements. No one's talking about vitamins. No one's talking about how to stay healthy and just live a healthier lifestyle. But yeah, everyone wants to talk about stay the fuck home. You shouldn't be going out because there's people in danger. Yeah, the people that are in danger are the people that didn't take care of themselves prior and now are choosing to go out when they shouldn't be out. The reason I'm going out is because I took care of myself and I'm willing to take that risk. If you're out, you're willing to take a risk.
Yeah.
If I don't have my mask outside and you have your mask outside, you're choosing to walk towards a person that doesn't have a mask. You're more than welcome to walk across the street, but I will not walk across the street.
It is funny how some people, like, they have, like, that issue. They're like, oh, this person's not wearing a mask or somebody, or like, vice versa. But they refuse to, like, just take a few extra steps, maybe cross the street, maybe walk a little bit more around the person or something. No. They want to walk right up to you and get close as possible to you so they can complain to you instead of maybe like being
they think
a person
it's their
thinks,
job to.
Oh, yeah. It's their job to let you know that they're better than you. That. Yeah, they're,
yeah,
they're better.
Exactly. They're on a higher stature because they're following the rules. Yeah. It's fine. If you feel that way, congratulations to you. You feel better about yourself. But don't try to make me feel like crap for you because you follow the rules. Because don't get me wrong, I'll still wear my mask if I have to. If an employee says, hey, you have to wear a mask,
going I'm into always, any business
you
have to.
And I'm always carrying around
it's
a
not
mask
like,
with me.
It's not like anybody's being a piece of, well, there probably are people that are just pieces of shit. We've seen videos of like people going in and causing a fuss. Like, no, I wear my mask.
Before,
you know, I wear it when it's appropriate. Like, you know, I go inside of a place or whatever, or there's a large group of people just to make everybody else comfortable. I'm going to throw it on. Sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I'm walking by myself, like if I'm going to Ralph's or whatever, or I'm going to Starbucks for whatever reason, and like I'm walking, I'm by myself, there's nobody on the streets, and one person happens to pop up, like walks out of their house and happens to walk in my direction and starts like fucking, oh, why aren't you wearing a mask? Like, actually, there's nobody here 2 seconds ago. Nobody had a problem with it. You came out, you were out here for half a second, and you have an issue with me. Why don't you just leave me the fuck alone?
And that's what happens.
I don't approach you. Like, I'm not going up to people and like, excuse me. I'm like, I literally like go out of my way to make sure that I'm safe and you're safe.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just don't want to hear your shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like some people just
you're
don't.
Not sneezing on people's toast.
Yeah. Who the fuck? Well,
and apparently, and apparently, like the stores, the grocery stores, all the stores ran out of toilet paper again. Like there was a.
Dude, you know how funny that
short
was?
On that.
Bro,
I don't understand why there's so much thing
about
toilet paper.
It's
going to
be worth its weight.
Bro, if they knew how much toilet paper Amazon literally just throws away just because they just throw it away, it just sits there for so long. So my mom works at Amazon.
Oh,
nice.
People just throw things away. If it's returned, it doesn't get returned. It gets thrown away. It gets tossed to the trash can. And if the employees want to take them, they say that they cannot. So some employees, because they throw
Walmart
food away.
Walmart does the same thing, yeah, right?
No, a lot of places. Hospitals do that too, like with food, like bananas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I understand it at some degree, but at the same time, a banana has a shell around it, you know? And they come in huge, you know, black trash, like almost body bags, and they're filled with bananas, like literally like a huge cart filled with bananas, and it's going straight to the trash. Jeez. Bananas, sandwiches, peanut butter sandwiches, those milk cartons, the small ones, straight to the trash by the huge carts. Like, you know, you would think of like a linen cart, you know how big those linen cart are? Yeah, full.
Jeez.
Yeah, we live, a lot of people like to complain about where we live, but we live here because we choose to
I can't stand these people that complain about like living here.
I choose to live here.
That's the thing, like, if you, like, yeah, like, I'm not going to be the guy to say, like, if you don't live here, move out, but, like,
if you don't, no, seriously.
Stop pretending that you have shitty living, like, conditions. Like, you can make it better for yourself. Like,
no one
you
has
to, like,
here.
Put forth the effort, that's all.
Yeah, taxes are extremely high in here. You know, and I've lived in Georgia before, and Texas were amazing.
Yeah.
Texas were nothing.
Oh, you're Georgia. Not from here originally.
No, I am. I was born and raised, but I lived in Georgia from, prior to me starting high school here, I started high school actually in Georgia for freshman year. I was there for about 6 to 8 months.
I mean, what part of Georgia were you in?
Woodstock, like the outskirts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to like ATL downtown a couple times. It's crazy busy. crazy busy. That's a lot of homework.
What do you think? And this is prior to COVID, so this has like it doesn't really have anything to do. But what do you think? Where what do you prefer? You think the East Coast or the West Coast?
I love the East Coast. The only thing I don't like about where I was particular or Georgia in particular is the humidity. I would say it wasn't for the humidity, honestly, I would have stayed if it wasn't for that. I loved everything about it. I loved nature. I loved the fact that I had to drive 15, 20 minutes just to get to the grocery store. I only have to go. That means I only have to go to. I don't make an excuse to go to the grocery store anymore. I would just go out and binge and buy.
Oh, I do. I'm doing that right now. I look for an excuse to just literally anything, any excuse to get out of the house. I try to find it and like go after it.
Georgia didn't let you do that because if you did, you have to drive 20, 30 minutes to get somewhere. Yeah. And like for example, there was a Walmart there, and they call it the Super Walmart, Giant Walmart. It literally has everything.
Oh, it's huge.
They sell lumber. Oh, yeah. So you want to buy lumber? They'll sell lumber.
Oh, dude, Walmart is the shit.
Yeah. You want to build a house?
Seriously, they have everything there. Everything. It's like
in those rural areas, like Walmart is like
they kind of have to.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's where people get most of their shit, and it's really cheap too. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you go to any area that has like the. Because around Virginia, where we were at, they had all these different grocery stores, like Giant and Food Lion and all this shit. And, like, I went...
Yeah, because Wegmans wasn't...
Yeah, Wegmans. Too. Yeah, well, Wegmans is like... It's like a Whole Foods, basically. Yeah. So, you know... And you know you're going to... Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, when you go to these places, you know that you're going to be paying more the quality is, like, fucking obviously way better.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, any other places go, it's like... No, I think I'll just go to Walmart because I know it's cheaper. And absolutely... Even if it's just by a couple of cents, it's like, hey... It adds up.
I used to go to Walmart just because it was really close.
Yeah, and that's
that was just convenient. That was just a coincidence that it happened to be the closest place.
Yeah, it was really close.
Because I don't mind if I have a car, I don't mind going a little bit, you know, extra, a couple miles, whatever, just to get whatever you need to get. But if this place is cheaper and it's got what I need, why the hell not?
Yeah,
I don't know. Just is there a like a culture of shaming people that shop at Walmart? I feel like there's
just so
much. There's so much of it everywhere. Why wouldn't it be for like Walmart shopping? I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it was like they made so many memes like about a certain time after like. Midnight.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. Oh no, it's great during for that people time, watching. If you go to Walmart at like 2-3 in the morning, which I have done, and it is pretty funny to see what's in there.
You would think it's only like people doing like just being exaggerating the circumstances, but it's not.
It's very accurate. Yeah.
Have you guys been to the? I'm pretty sure you've been to the Walmart and the Crenshaw Plaza.
Yes, I don't go to Crenshaw in general since I was a kid because I was just like I hated going to that
Walmart. It's almost a different time zone in there. Like you walk into the store, you're in a completely different zone. It just feels really
because I refuse to go to the theater there.
Oh yeah, I've been there. Just because
you get the what do they call it, like the 4D experience. So you get obviously the movie, mm-hmm. and you also get sounds and throwing shit from the back and stuff like that.
So they like blow air.
I know, and they're like, well, the tickets are really cheap. It's like yes, there's a reason why they're cheap.
Yeah, the seats are very uncomfortable. Yeah. Probably haven't been cleaned since they opened up.
It's so horrible.
The only Walmart that I've been to out here. Actually, and the only movie theater, too. So the only one Walmart I've been to is the one in Burbank. I don't know if you guys have been to that one.
No. I've been in Burbank, and I've been to one, but...
That one seemed, like, decent enough.
Well, Burbank is a pretty...
It's Burbank, yeah.
Yeah,
Burbank I'm still... I think I'm still pretty new here, and I because of whatever everything that was going on, I haven't had a lot of chance to explore around. So, I don't know what cities are, like...
What would you consider a bad city, I guess?
I wouldn't even know because I don't really know that.
You haven't seen a really bad city here then?
So when I got here, so I flew in. I got a hotel pretty much around the airport. And I think I was around whatever the area is around LAX.
Inglewood?
Yeah, so I was in Inglewood for a while. And that was fine. And then I had a rental car at the time. And I went around. You guys were talking about Crenshaw. And like I didn't know that I was in there. Because I was on the phone with my buddy. And I was like, oh, let me grab some food or whatever. And I just stopped in a thing. And I saw a thing that said Crenshaw. I was like, oh, shit. All right. I was on the phone with my boy. I'm like, I guess I'm in Crenshaw. He's like, oh, you better watch out. I was like, get the fuck out. Everything be fine. And then.
Yeah, times have changed on Crenshaw, too.
Yeah.
Like from what it used to be.
But even like Inglewood, too. It depends where. Because I was born and raised in Inglewood. And then I moved down to.
Oh, really?
Up to.
You live in Inglewood? Oh, shit.
I lived there for about 10 years, the first 10 years. So it was a different neighborhood than it is like here.
Yeah.
But it's not that, like a Tupac, Inglewood up to no good.
Like up to no good.
I don't like, no, that. They're still up to good in certain communities.
There's a lot of it's not good all bad. Around.
But yeah, because I remember we met, like, it was half your freshman year, and it was my sophomore.
I had just gotten back from Georgia when I started.
So you were a sophomore when you got back here?
When I got back, I was still a freshman.
He was a freshman. Sophomore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was, yeah, they were older than me. But,
so you did all 4 years of high school?
No, I didn't. After ninth grade, I stayed there. Sophomore year, I was a kid, that liked school. I didn't see the point of sitting in a class and listening to the teacher. That's just the kind of person
I was. People refer to as a problem child.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you were. That's what I was. I was a problem. I was a problem child. Georgia did change me a lot, though. It made me realize, like, when I was in Georgia, I was in straight A's. I think I got one B, and when I came back,
the East Side. That's the East Coast education system, people.
Hey, man, they're doing something right because they got me to sit down to.
Bam! Look at that. Hey. Outsider said it. You heard it here first.
Hey, man, they did something right. They got me to sit down, took my shirt in, and
don't fuck around, Jack.
I guess not. But when I came back, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just, you know, coming back or the energy I had, but I just came back with the I don't care mentality.
What school did you go to out here?
Uni. University Senior High.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where you went to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where you guys met?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And since I wasn't paying attention at school, like, I started diverting my attention to girls, and...
There you go.
As one does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just started... All my attention went to work. Girls. Sometimes I wouldn't show up to class. I would ditch a couple periods and then just come back for like lunch, meet some girl up. We'll go out, get some lunch, and then just drop her back off. Like I was not at school.
Because my senior year, because we would ditch a lot. Like there would be times where we would go.
I was always the bad influence.
In front of school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're just like, I really don't want to be here today. Yeah. And we would just walk away. To the point where the last couple months of my senior year, I was like, I don't think I'm going to walk stage. Like, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to graduate.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to walk stage. So when I didn't do any of the senior stuff, so I didn't do like the senior package and whatever. I went to the senior, I think, like we had a trip to like Disneyland, I think.
Uh-huh. I think we did this. Ours, yeah, Disneyland or Disney World and Universal. Because ours is, we're in South Florida, so we had, Orlando's only 3 hours away.
Yeah,
so you can just do that pretty much.
No, we did the smaller version. Disneyland.
Which I didn't know that there was a difference, honestly, because...
Yes. I didn't know either.
Because that's a whole... It's a world.
Yeah, well, I grew up there, so I just thought that that's what it was.
Disney.
No,
I got to the military, somebody from California was telling me about Disneyland. I was like, oh, same shit. They're like, no.
It's not.
Like, what do you mean? What's the difference? He's like, no, you have Disney World where it's like a whole thing. It's like, and so he asked me to describe it, and I was like, yeah, you walk in, and it's like its own little city. It's really fucking clean.
Yeah.
Everyone's super nice. Obviously, everyone's like in a good mood because they're all on vacation and whatever. Yeah. And then he started telling me about like how it is over here. And it's like, it's like
some the most roller coasters. We have, I think, or, it's
yeah,
like,
what is it? Sounds like the pier to me. Sounds like the pier over there.
We have a California Resort. I think that's the only thing, like, Disneyland that we have that I don't know about.
Also, like, there aren't actually, like, big hotels that are, like...
They have hotels and everything.
It's inside, like, Disney World, like, they have, like, a whole city, right? So, there's, like, their resort, what they call it, Disney Resort, and it's a bunch of hotels. But they're not actually part of Disney. They're, like, third parties that just rent out to the residents.
Because, like...
Or the residents that are...
Not as far as Disney World goes, but because it's the same... Like, they're both theme parks or whatever, huge ones. Universal for, like, we stayed for like 3 or 4 days or whatever with some friends, and we stayed on an on-site hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where we stayed at the Hard Rock. So it's like when you get out, like, the theme park is right there.
It's literally
It's
like on the outside of the parking structure, but literally across the street, right?
Yeah. So instead of like parking or like, you know, staying in a hotel a couple miles away, it's like right there. You wake up in the morning, you have your breakfast, and go have your
across
fun.
Across the street, you go have fun. Yeah.
I've done that. It's way too pricey to stay in one of their.
Oh, well, we had.
Disneyland in general is overpriced.
The discounts are pretty fucking.
Man, I think any theme park is fucking overpriced.
That's why that's the only thing that I really.
I don't like theme parks. Like,
the senior stuff was Disneyland, because that in general was already expensive. Mm-hmm. And then to do everything else, I was like, I'm not going to remember these people.
Yeah.
So I just didn't do anything else. So I was really actually surprised.
I dated a girl that was at Disneyland like every weekend or every other weekend.
That's too much.
That's way too much.
Because you had to get the pass.
Right? Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not paying. How much is a ticket? Like $100 a ticket?
I thought it was... Last time, I think I went, it was like 80.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's more expensive.
But that's 360 a month. I haven't done in a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the annual pass is, but I just, even then, I just don't have. The annual
pass is, I think, like
600?
I think I paid half of it for
I would think it's like my 600, friend 700.
As a gift, and it was a 200. I put 200 in the card to pay for half of it.
Oh, so damn, $400 for a whole year. Does that give you access to both theme parks, or just?
I think so. It gives access to both.
But the funny thing is, with the season pass,
yeah,
the fast pass isn't included.
So no, it's not.
Yeah,
no,
you can't go and skip everybody just because you have a season pass. That's funny.
They should just sell the fast pass. That's what I want. Yeah. The thing about me,
like, they not have it just here. Like, you can just buy a fast pass when you get here. They
probably
don't have
it here? Yeah. But then
I know they have an app where it's like it'll tell you, you know, like which
times?
Ones are yeah, which ones are which one you can go now mm-hmm. and stuff like that for the for members that already Gross. You have to have something. I don't
Spending
know.
15 minutes in line is just too much time already, bro. And that's what
15.
How many, yeah, that's already a lot. That's already a lot of time, man. For a ride, that's an hour I just wasted.
I actually got to know people.
Yeah.
More there from high school
Fuck that.
Because we would sit in line
oh,
for
yeah,
so
yeah,
long.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so much time to just talk while we're waiting for this fucking ride.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's why I'm not a big fan of theme parks for that reason. Too expensive, too much waiting and time. I could be doing a lot of other things with my time. That's awesome. And not spending money either.
So
that's true.
All right, after high school.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. After high school, I went to continuation school
mm-hmm.
for about 6 months, but it was mainly to make money. It was just to make money. Like at the time, I already had credit cards. Like I was already using them. Like my dad had showed me, like, you're gonna need credit when you're younger. So I started building credit. Like at 15, mm-hmm. he co-signed me on a card. Started building credit and started making money at continuation around 17, 18. Stopped going to continuation school. Hung out with that crew for like 6 months. Had a really bad accident where I got really drunk one time. And I was taking care of... I don't know how I'm taking care... If I'm drunk, I don't know how I'm taking care of another person that's drunk. I was walking...
Right.
I was walking trying to carry him. And I didn't see the first floor balcony corner. Like they had a... Oh no, Porsche. Sorry, a Porsche. The apartment had a Porsche. Look at this. But you know how the top, it's like a top corner?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
But it was really low. And we were going down towards the garage. So it stuck out a little bit. And I'm carrying this guy. I was drunk. I didn't see the corner. I was walking and just completely busted my head open.
Really?
Yeah, it literally left the... I think I still have the gash.
The corner of a porch?
No, the corner of cementing, like the porch. Like
yeah,
a porch.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The
right.
corner just literally... Just
right in your...
Right in my temple.
Jesus Christ.
Or right. My cranium.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I felt really warm. Like, what the fuck is this? I just felt hurt. Like, I was drunk.
Yeah.
I went like this, and my whole hand is covered in blood. I was like... And I'm like, yo, I busted my hand. He's like, he doesn't know what the hell. I just kind of drop him on the stairs. I'm like, I got to go somewhere. So, like, I took my shirt off. Like, yeah. I'm walking around with no shirt. And I just wrap my head and mm-hmm. just tighten it up and put pressure over the top of my head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I walked to the gasoline station. And I asked him if I could use a restroom.
Mm.
He's like, yeah, go for it. And I think my head has blood on it. My hands are covered with blood.
Yeah, go right ahead.
And the guy's like, yeah, the restroom's right there. The door's open. And I was like, all right, cool. And it's like a gasoline station. Like, these in Santa Monica, like, these gasoline stations, restrooms are not clean. Nothing like that. I walk in. I don't even lock the door. I just stick my head into the sink, and I'm just...
Fucking washing.
Yeah, I'm just washing it off. And I get a couple paper towels. I put it back on, and I grab my shirt with full of blood, and I just... Again, compress it down, and I just go about my day the rest of the day. I get home. I don't even know why I fell asleep. I should have probably not fell asleep.
No. Yeah, you're not supposed, I didn't know that was a thing, too. That you're not supposed to fall asleep after you, like, hit your head really
mm-hmm.
badly.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not going to get into my own thing, but I did, like, I was in a car accident. And, like, I hit my head, and I didn't know any better. So, like, I was tired and shit. And, like, I went to sleep. Because it was late at night, or mm-hmm. early morning, whatever. So, I just went back to sleep, and then when I woke up... I told a friend of mine what happened. He's like, "You should not.
No.
You should not have gone to sleep. Like,
yeah,
you could have gotten into a coma or some crazy shit.
Yeah,
you can slip into a coma."
Yeah.
Or something. I was like, "Oh,
and
fuck! All right." But that didn't happen with you, so
really dangerous. Right? No, I'm happy because I was drunk and I was high and I remember.
So did you just let it?
I just let it sit. It just cured out. I just put pressure on it. Just let it. And I just let it heal. The next day, I woke up and it was scab and.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Well, yeah, because it is exposed to the air and all that shit.
Yeah, and then I just,
well, I didn't know how deep if you need.
No, yeah. See, that's what I thought. I thought it was really deep, but then when I started putting like my hand over it, like.
Nah, yeah, usually.
I was like, oh, it looks fine. It feels fine.
Yeah, if you.
Besides having a massive bump on it.
You bleed a lot when you get a cut on your head, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be like deep or anything, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. And especially with all like the alcohol on me. Like
mm-hmm. here.
Oh, yeah, true. And your blood
here is up, it's like very, like just the smallest cut can.
Yeah.
Can cause a lot of
pain. Yeah, I remember when we were little, my sister and I were like super young. We were like just in our room, like doing flips off of like the dresser, like onto the bed or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And she, I flipped and then she went to go right after me and her head like caught the edge of the thing. And all I heard was like little, and she was like, ah, fuck, or whatever. I don't know, fuck, whatever she said.
Yeah.
What I do remember is she immediately left our room and went to the bathroom. And then like 2 seconds later, you just heard like, ah! She's freaking out.
Oh.
My mom runs back. She's like, what the fuck? She's like, I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, all right, you know, she took care of her or whatever. And then I walked into the bathroom. She's like, what the hell is going on? And then all I saw was like a handprint of blood on the light switches. And like as a little kid, you think it's really traumatizing. Ah, it wasn't really, not really a big deal. But like I saw it. I was like, oh shit, holy crap. And then like I just saw her like holding the thing, and then at the end of the day it was just, like a small cut.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blood.
Is the
yeah, exactly. It was just like a horror. It was a handprint because she was holding her head.
Yeah.
And then she went to like hit the lights real quick. So it was literally just like in the movies, like a handprint of blood on the thing. And it's just like getting attacked.
Like, yeah, hysterical in the room. Yeah.
But yeah, again, so yeah, it's just a little small cut, but there's like a whole bunch of blood.
Yeah, a lot of blood.
Anytime you injure your head,
And I mean I've had a lot of accidents. I used to skate, so I was like, yeah, it's a little bit of blood. Just cover myself up. I'll be fine tomorrow. But yeah, so after... What were we on?
You cut your head and you woke up in the morning?
Oh, yeah, I woke up in the morning. Yeah. Oh, and then that was just it. I just went about my life the next day. Like, after that accident, yeah, it really opened me up because I'm like, okay. I was having arguments with my dad a lot because I was in new shit. Like, I was making money but really not making anything and I wasn't studying, so he gave me an ultimatum. He said either get a job or get the fuck out of here. So I said okay. Me being a dumbass I am, I'm like, okay, I'll get the fuck out of here. I had my car.
Me being the guy that I was
back in the day, like I was really really stupid and didn't think things through, so I said okay, fuck it, I have my car, I'll live in my car, I throw all my shit in the car, I don't have a lot of things. Threw all my stuff in the car. I had a 2002 Honda Civic. 2-door coupe. I'm 5'11". And me being that I'm so stubborn, I tried making it work for like a week. And I can't do this. And I'm like, I just can't. Like, I need to do something.
Wait, you didn't really go anywhere? You were staying in the car?
No, I was in the car.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in the car.
You didn't like try to like crash with a friend or anything?
No, like, I mean, I just didn't see... I didn't want to burden anybody. Yeah, and like, at the same time, it's like, it's my situation. I put myself in the situation. Why am I going to burden someone else for the decision that I made?
Right.
I could have stayed at home if I wanted to, but I decided to be a smartass. So, yeah, I stayed in the car. I dealt with it for a week, and then I'm like, I need to get a job. And that's what I was like, you know what? I need to do something. So I jumped on DoorDash.
Yeah,
I jumped on DoorDash. For a while. Yeah, David told me about it. He's like, yeah, man, I'm making like 30, 35 bucks an hour doing nothing.
It's especially because it's like you guys would do it Santa Monica area. And
well, you learn,
You know. Around that area.
Don't know.
No, you don't know.
I don't know.
The demographics are a lot of different. You're thinking about people on...
Tips are going to be very good. Pick up is going to be very good.
Are people that look at your tip on the DoorDash app and say 15, 20, and 25% and go for the 30. They go for the extra 30%.
Wow.
Which us, we start looking
for. They've got it nice. Yeah, I'm scrolling through. I'm like,
absolutely, yeah.
I don't have it like that yet.
You know? But see, that goes back to knowing what demographic you're working for. Yeah. Like, I could have done DoorDash in my area, but I probably wouldn't have gotten tips, and I wouldn't have made 30 bucks and 35 bucks an hour.
Right.
I maybe cashed out 20 bucks, which is still not bad.
Speaking of which, if I can, so you do get, obviously you get your tips, but you get like a baseline pay too, I would imagine.
So now, I don't know how to do it. When me and David were doing, the company had just started.
Right.
We were barely getting any orders. We were actually getting paid hourly. We weren't getting paid per order.
Right, yeah,
because you were to clock in.
Yeah.
Right, through the app.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you would say your schedule for the day. Mm-hmm. You had to be in that demographic. So in the map, it would show you when Santa Monica's radius starts,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I'm scheduled in. As soon as I got in that radius, I'm able to clock in.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter exactly where I'm at. As long as I'm in the Santa Monica radius, you log on. You're on pending mode.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically waiting. You're queued up, waiting for an order. You get an order. When I had just, I was still doing kind of part time. They had it to where, again. DoorDash has gone through a lot of lawsuits and a lot of things because they don't. A lot of DoorDashers don't feel like they're getting paid their tips because this is how they do it. This is how they do it. They'll give you, let's say you gotta get average two orders in an hour, and each order is gonna give you. They'll pay you $5 for the order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you have to complete those two orders in order to get that bonus. If you get those two orders, they give you a $2 or $3 bonus
mm-hmm.
for completing those three, and then they say and 100% of your tip. But then you start looking at your breakdown, and it's like, okay, these are this, and the bonus is here. But how the fuck did I only get this in tip? It doesn't add up. You're looking
mm-hmm.
at your tip, and I'm like, I'm missing a lot of my, like, for at least the way I saw, I'm missing a lot of my tip because now it's just I'm averaging $20 an hour, like you guys say on your website, but it's not because of your hourly or whatever you guys are paying. You guys are basically averaging out $20 an hour, including my tip,
mm-hmm.
when it shouldn't be included. A tip should not be included as part of my average.
Of course
not. A tip is a tip.
Yeah.
You're paying me for providing the service in an adequate way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that you feel that you're happy with. Customer service again. You did get utensils, all of that stuff is very important when it comes to stuff like that. And I wasn't being rewarded for following the process. Again, the process is very important. I wasn't getting paid for that. So I said, at some point, I wasn't even averaging that. I was looking at my average. Like, I'm very huge on numbers. So I was like, I'm doing my calculations. Like, I'm going through my whole week, how many hours I worked. Whoop-de-whoop, the whole nine, right? I'm like, I'm averaging $14 an hour. And that's not including expenses for the vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
Tires, registration, all of that, maintenance. Like, a car doesn't just run because you want it. It needs oil. It needs to be maintained.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't do it anymore. And I'm like, shoot, I got to figure out another thing. Again, I didn't graduate from high school. I don't have
a
diploma or anything like that.
I think a lot of people don't know that, is that when you tip, like, any service.
Hey, man, I'm huge on tips.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't know is that when you tip through the card, the company usually takes a percentage. And they charge you for using a card in the first place to tip.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when you're going to tip anybody, it's just better to give them cash.
Give them cash. Yeah, I always appreciate it.
Yeah.
And anybody will always appreciate a cash tip
yeah.
simply because it's right there instantly.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of it, yeah. And nobody else is getting, because the tip is supposed to be for that specific
individual,
not for the whole company.
The whole company, yeah.
It's like, hey, thanks for getting here quick.
You're being rewarded for your customer service.
Here. Boom, here's a fucking 5 or 10, whatever the fuck, you know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Instead and another of, like, thing, like, that's another thing, like, I've learned, like, a lot of people, I understand not all demographics are able to give a certain amount of tip. They're only able to give what they can, right? And it's completely understandable. But why am I going to limit myself to the amount that I can make simply because I want to be in the same demographic that everyone else is in? No, I'm going to go out to Santa Monica, Palisades, Beverly Hills, where these people are loaded, see the value, see that how much it takes to do an order, because this is what people don't understand. People think that people that make a lot of money don't see the value in it. No, it's not that. It's that you're not providing enough value for them to even consider you, consider your product or whatever service you're providing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to go up to someone and say, hey, I'm going to wash your car for $60, I would say, well, that's expensive.
It is expensive. Yeah.
But if you tell someone, hey, I'm going to take care of your car, I'm going to detail it, this is what I'm going to do to it. Pop, 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 pop.
Break it down.
And then on top of that, pop, 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 pop. And if you need anything else, I'll take care of it. And then before even telling them a price, am I able to provide you with this service? Is it okay with you? Yeah. And then he's gonna ask you, how much does it cost?
Of course.
And you tell him. He's gonna be like, but then he's gonna have something to go back on.
He says, because he has the reference, but he has the breakdown.
Exactly.
So he's like, okay, yeah, that does sound like $60 worth of service.
It actually sounds like more. This guy's really cheap, actually.
Yeah.
And he's only $60. It's happened to me so many times. You're giving me all of this for $60. But the way, the reason
I never thought about the pop-up pods.
Oh, the breaking down.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about
it, beats a lot of value. It's like, it's like, for example, like if you go, the reason you buy Apple product, it's not, oh well, no, I'm not even gonna bring Apple because people just buy Apple because of the name.
Security, but, security is important.
Apparently not to some people because on social.
See, look at this, like just like no, it's important.
It's important to some people, but not
mostly the immigrants. The general, the general population
doesn't give a shit about security, not and good. That goes through their social media. That proves everything to me.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like for example, you're not gonna go ahead and let's say for example you want an agent to buy a house, right? There's two agents. There's me as an agent, and then there's another guy as an agent. You have an agent, you're going to go look at the same house, right? But it's same house, different agent. You go over to the first agent. He literally, you show up, says hi, goes back to his little countertop. He's like, just look around, take a look around. Where's the customer service? Where are you giving me the tour? You're asking me to sell myself on a product. You expect me to buy this house because I walked in and out of it? No, absolutely not. I would never do that. If I was an agent, I would say, hey, thank you for taking the time out of your day for coming in today. Let me go ahead and show you around the house. Even prior to setting up that appointment, I would have a lot of things that I would have talked to you over the phone that I know are important to you that I can, that I have an opportunity on to build value on. So if you have a family of four with kids, I'm not going to talk about the fucking, I'm not going to talk about how nice is like the party life or how nice the office is. Like, you're gonna care about where your kids are, your private space. So I'm gonna attack those areas. I'm gonna go show you the bedroom, show you how nice this bedroom is gonna be for your kids, the security. I'm gonna knock those points out. Then I'm gonna go to the backyard because the backyard is beautiful. Chris has over an acre of property, and guess what?
He's getting into it. He's into it.
It's gonna have swings there. It's gonna have, you know, a nice tree, so you have your shade. You have your barbecue pit there. You can barbecue for your kids, watch your kids play, all of that, Chris. Wouldn't that be nice?
No, I hate my kids.
You hate your kids?
Yeah, but you still want to buy that house.
You know what? I kind of hate my kids sometimes. They're kind of shitty and bratty. But hey, they're still going to be happy. And so you're going to be able to get away from them because you're going to have your own office, Chris.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about their security because they have a backyard to play in and all those swings. That's a huge difference as opposed to someone just coming in and saying, check out the house.
Sign the papers, give them the down payment, and live your happiest life, bro.
How we had a pen around.
I got a pen for you. Hold on.
People are trying to sell shit to people that people don't fucking want.
Yeah.
I don't, like...
Right, because you don't really sell the product, but you sell...
Yeah, I would think, because anytime I look at a place, I want... Yeah, you do the tour, because, you know, you should show you around.
You have to see it, right?
And then afterwards, it's like, all right, now let me maybe go back over here. I'll check it out on my own a little bit after I've been given the tour and stuff.
And keep in mind, and even if they don't buy... The best part about that is that, one, you tried, which is the most important thing. You asked for the sale. Two, you didn't end on bad terms with them because you never pushed the button. You put a little bit of pressure on them because you're a salesperson. That's what salesperson do. They put pressure on you to buy stuff. That's our job. Three, but you built a relationship with this person. Mm-hmm. Now this person is saying, hey, he was a great person. He wasn't too salesy. I have to be salesy because I'm a salesperson. Yeah. That's my job. That's my title.
But at least
title.
You establish some sort of relationship.
Yeah, but I established a relationship. Yeah. I know how many kids he has. Know what he wants. What he's looking for. I have different areas of attack.
You have his address if you want to murder him.
And if he doesn't end up buying from me, guess what? He built such a wrong relationship with me. And he built such a good relationship with me.
You don't want to buy this house, baby?
He might refer me to his friends. He might just do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing is referral.
He might think I know this place could be actually good for
him. Yeah. Hey, man, you know what? And that's how my business is now. Like, I started off with 10 clients. Some of them I charged 20. Some of them I charged 80 for a wash. Okay. But slow and steady, I started raising my price on the people that were low because initially I started washing cars for free, like I said, or washing cars for another company that I ended up stealing their clients, or the client just said, hey, I want you to detail my car personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, there's a niche for this. That's why the supply and demand for detailers right now is completely absurd. There's so many detailers out there right now.
Oh, yeah.
The prices are fucking, you could get a watch for 20, 25 bucks, 30, 40 bucks. It's nothing. And these guys are spending an hour there. Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, okay, a lot of people want car washes. But if I promote myself as a private detailer, exclusive only to you, and I pick my customers, it's been working for me for the past 9 months. I don't see why it won't work for the rest of the time. So I just choose my clients. And honestly, like, the detailing thing is just something for me to stay afloat and not drown. Because if not, I would be swimming in debt and a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like, I have bills to pay. I have a mortgage to pay. I have a lot of things that I have to get. I have pets that I have to feed. I live with my mom. Like, there's a lot of things I have to do for her. Again, she was not born here, so she has an Amazon job. Doesn't have the best job, but she works hard. And that's actually where I get it from. She just works extremely hard. Now it's just work hard, but smarter. Make more money with less amount of time in. I remember when I was at LA Fitness, I remember being at Playa. I was an assistant manager. And a lady came in and she's like, hey, I want to sign up, but I want to try out the gym first. I'm like, okay. So if I let you try out the gym right now, will you come see me right after your workout? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, let me just hold on to your ID. And then when you're done with your workout, come back and talk to me. She's like, okay, great. Left for ID. And she did a workout, came back, and I was eating. She's like, I'm so sorry, honey. You can go ahead and eat. I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. I just put my foot to the side. She sat down. Dude, this lady was in her, like, 60s, bro. And she's like, yeah, you know, I've seen you here a couple times, and I've been wanting to come in and sign up, but, you know, I just wanted to try it out. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, so what did you think about the gym today? Did you enjoy it? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Did you see yourself something? Maybe we're missing some equipment that maybe you like in here. She's like, no, you guys have everything. I'm like, I'm asking you selling questions. Like, I'm closing you down. Like, I'm trying to see if we have everything you need. Turns out we have everything you need. I'm like, okay, I see no point in you not turning into a member today. Do you mind me asking why you don't just sign up today? She's like, well, to be completely honest with you, I'm a little bit short on cash. I'm like, well, how much cash do you need? Maybe I can work something out for you. She's like, this is how much I have. I'm like, do you have a debit card at least? I can put it on file and it just charges you in a month. She's like, you can do that? I was like, yeah. I'm like, I hope you. I want to get you a gym. That's how good of a customer service rep I was, that I was trying to do whatever I could for them. I got her signed up, and then I'm getting her info, right? And I'm like, oh, and what's your last name? Because her info on her ID wasn't accurate. Mm-hmm. She's like, do you mind if I just go across the desk and just type it in for you? I was like, yeah, go ahead. You can sit here. She's like, no, I was actually thinking if I could sit on your lap. I was like,
oh, hello.
Oh. Right. Hello. And she's like, oh, I giggled because I also wasn't trying to, like, but I was still a salesperson. I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, that's funny, but I'm unfortunately we can't do that right now. But you can definitely sit right next to me. Like, I'm still going with it. I'm still trying to get the sale.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I was just kidding, honey. But yeah, I'll definitely go sit down next to you. So she comes next to me, right, starts typing down. I'm like, all right, you're all set. She's like, that's it? I was like, yeah, okay. And I go in for a handshake. She grabs my hand and hugs me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, crazy. She's like, oh, by the way, do I get one of those tags? I was like, oh, yeah. Let me go ahead and activate it for you. I'm like, hey, at the time we had an assistant. What was her assistant? Oh, Kelly. I'm like, hey, Kelly, can you just activate this car? She's like, the lady's like, no, I want you to activate it. I was like, no, but my assistant's going to take care of you. She's going to activate it for you. She needs to get some. She's like, no, I want you to activate it. I was like, okay, then just follow me over here. So I take her to the desk, and I'm like, I got to take a picture of you. And I take a picture of her, and then I'm like, all right, you're all set. You're good to go. Have a great workout. She's like, oh, I'm going to have a great workout. She's like, you're going to be here tomorrow? Dude, every time she showed up, she sat down at my desk and had a five-minute conversation with me.
Every single time. Was she attractive?
No, oh, she was an old lady. Like, it was she was like one of those old ladies. Like, I've had that a couple times happen to me where just old ladies just really are advantageous and just say what they want. And I respect that.
Yeah, it's great.
I respect that.
Older women, dude, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're all
very... They're not here to fuck around.
They're looking at you like a piece of meat, bro. Listen,
I may not have these couple weeks, dude.
I got a job. I'm only here for a couple more years. Come on, let's go.
Dude, look at you with the most... Oh, man, these...
You know what's funny? Because the ones that are like that, they're... The older ones, they usually have, like, some money and shit. Or at least in Miami, too, especially. They're usually pretty attractive. The ones that are kind of like, I don't give a shit.
Hey, and even if they're not, to be like,
well, okay.
You want to make some quick cash? Like, that's a good cash.
Yeah, because they'll come to you like, oh, you look good.
My uncle.
Because they're older, you kind of like feel like, I have to listen to you. I have to respect my elders. And it's like, you're going to come over my house right now. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Let's go. My uncle has a friend. Oh, no. Not as a friend that has a friend. But this friend was like in her 80s and had a house.
That might be pushing it.
You know, had Goldberry, like a bunch of shit, and no, she was looking for a young dude to spend the rest of her living years with.
You didn't tell me that part, then I might have to reconsider now.
No, that's I was considering it. She got
gold bars, like fucking.
No, she had cases of gold. Like my uncle's friend that he was dating, actually, she herself collects gold, But he doesn't understand why he doesn't sell it, because gold is really...
It was at an all-time high.
A couple months ago.
When it was during the like the recession, like after 2008, mm-hmm. after like a couple of years, gold was at an all-time high. It was more valuable than platinum even.
Yep. Crazy. And she just has gold sitting in her house. And so, long story short, I just didn't end up going.
Is she still looking for someone?
I don't know. This is like 4 years. I don't know if she's still kicking.
I believe in her. I don't know if she's still kicking around. I think she's a tough old broad. Listen, if she needs somebody.
She was eight. Look, for old broad, she dressed well.
Do we have a picture?
I don't have a picture. No, but yeah, you could
contact info.
She would have taken care of me. She would have taken care.
I need somebody to take care of me. I'm trying to be a fucking actor, bro. This is tough.
Hey, man, it's tough.
Somebody could take care of me until I get some stuff going.
Between you and David.
Yeah.
I'll beat the shit out of David. That's the difference. That's the kind of competitor I am.
And she knew, like, she just wanted a partner for her remaining life, so she knew that the money that, you know, she had, you know, she was going to compensate you, treat you the way you wanted to be treated.
Why am I not at her house right now? I would be doing this over there. I'd be like, hey, Dolores, you mind if a couple of guys come over and record a podcast? You're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Every week, every week, come on, guys, come on over. You guys want drinks? Huh? Dolores, where's the vodka?
Where's the fucking cookies at, too?
She's got everything. Come on. What's the problem? She's happy. Everybody's happy.
Everyone's happy. She's getting what she
and
wants.
And even after she passes, as unfortunate as it would be, we'd still be happy because she would take care of us. Or
after her passing, is that what you're saying?
The gold.
Oh, yeah,
dude. It's got to go somewhere. Unless you want to give it to the state, which fuck you, California.
Yeah.
It wasn't just in general.
Oh yeah, you don't want to give that shit over to the government anyway.
Yeah, fuck to anybody.
They're gonna want to take their half, their end anyway.
Yeah.
In case, like are we recording? Because this is good shit. Yeah.
We are.
Or maybe.
Yeah, that's
all.
Perfect.
I figured. Yeah. Because even after you fucking die, they still want to. Although I will say this, regardless of how you feel about Trump, he did eliminate the death tax. Which, I don't know, it kind of went under a lot of people's radar.
A lot of things.
After you die, apparently you have to, the family has to pay a death tax on behalf of the person who died. And he got rid of that.
Even when you die, you still got money over your head.
It's so stupid. It's unbelievable. But whatever. Either way, instead of, well, that's gone for now. But also, if she dies, you know, for now, well, you know, we got a new guy coming in, so. Listen, she's got a bunch of gold buried in her backyard, and she just needs somebody to hang out with.
Hey, man,
I'm all about it.
My uncle's all into that, like in that industry. He's a Swami gold seller, so he sets up on like little tents at Swamis and sells gold, and he makes money. He has some really nice gold.
It's
some really jewelry.
I used to work in a pawn shop, so like I learned about how
I had to sell some gold.
Valuable this shit is.
Yeah, no, I had to sell some gold during this time because I just needed the money, and I was like, I need to sell some stuff so I can reinvest and like keep working because. And another reason why I sold this, I'm not a jewelry guy anymore. Like in high school, I think I had a chain for a little bit. But after that, like that was my favorite chain. But after that, I just lost it. And now when I do wear like. Accessories. This is a very simple watch. It's like a $60.
I like to accessorize. I haven't been doing it lately, but you know, there was a while where I liked to accessorize a little watch bracelet. I never really did the ring thing, but I had a chain for a little while too. Yeah, but it's funny how unassuming. Like you wouldn't, because when I started working at this place, it's like you wouldn't think that like it had as much money in it as it did because it's like the pawn shop. It kind of looks, it's decent, but it looks like kind of a piece of shit. Yeah. But like. When you know like what's going on behind that curtain, there's holy shit, so much fucking money, and every single day, it's always like the same people that are coming in. But
look,
like 70% of the business here is people stealing shit,
stealing
fucking gold or jewelry or robbing people's houses and bringing it to you. And
that's why the pawn shops are able to buy it so cheap. Like I sold two watches for them, super cheap, cheap watches, nothing expensive, like $250 watches, nothing crazy. And I wanted some because I wasn't using it anymore. I'm not the type of person that wears those watches anymore. I'm a very simple. It's like super like big face. I didn't want it anymore. They only gave me $20 for it. But it goes into that like.
Yeah, I would have given you less.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, no, and I took them because I know I wasn't gonna get more.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sell it to someone, and they're gonna want this and this. There's no questions asked here. If I try to sell it on offer, it's like, when did you buy it? Do you have a case? Do you have this? Do you have that? For what? An extra $20? Come on, man. That's not I literally just want to take up the space that this watch was taking up in my drawer. Like, I literally didn't want
it. For the most part, like, the way that they do it is, like, whenever somebody brings something in, like, if they brought, like, this was, like, a paperweight or whatever, they just look it up on eBay. and they just go to sold items, and then they see, like, if it's sold for $20, it's like, all right, well, we still need to make a profit too. So they'll be like, all right. If something is, like, usually something that's that cheap, like, they won't even buy it. Or, well, because the boss, he was actually a really, really cool guy. Super nice, very chill dude. So he liked helping people out. So he'd be like, dude, just give him, like, $5, whatever. We'll never sell it, but it's like, you know, we'll help him out, whatever. And, you know, on a case, sometimes, but if something, for example, like, would sell for, like, $100, then we'll be like, try to maybe give you,
yeah, it's a different
$20,
story.
Like, $15.
Like, that's another thing. Like, another way that I make money is, like, on OfferUp. Like, my dad works at a dealership, so there's a lot of things that they throw out that, like, for example, dealerships, like, tell you need to replace your tires at a certain amount of tread.
Yeah, I used to work, yeah. There's a,
but it's really not true. It's recommended, yes.
Yeah, it's
recommended.
Once you get to, there's a tool for it, but it's like, yeah, you don't have to. It's just the for optimum safety,
yeah.
You know, you don't want to get...
But that's where used tires come from. That's literally where used tires come from.
Yeah,
from,
exactly.
From dealerships that say you need new tires because it's recommended for optimum safety features or whatever, that you change them out. So my dad brings the tires home, and sometimes I have full sets of tires.
Dude, I had a...
And I sell each tire, because they're basically... And the thing about dealership is that they consider them used with only 50% of the tread gone.
Less, yeah.
Less. So, realistically, you technically have brand new tires. Mm-hmm. So, I send them offer up. I see what the shop for a tire shop is in my area. I see that they're $35 for a tire. I'm like, all right, for a used tire. My tires are basically brand new. I charge them $50. And people hit me up. It's like, oh, well, the dealership is charging me. I'm like, yeah, the tire shop is charging you so much.
They have to meet certain, like, obviously...
like an invoice and certain amount of customers coming in the door and stuff like
that. Well, they have safety standards that they have to maintain from the manufacturer. Like, I worked at Mercedes for a while.
So, oh, okay.
Like, with them, it was... Jesus. So, if you got... so, obviously, we all know how a tire looks. So, if a nail, for example, if you... Because they all, when you buy a new car off the lot, whatever, they come with insurance on the tires.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a flat, they're just no questions asked. They take care of it. Mm-hmm. If it's patchable, or whatever, they'll do it. If not, you still get a brand new tire either way. But if you get a nail, like on
the sidewall,
yeah, if you get it on the sidewall or whatever. So like if that was your tire, mm-hmm. and that's the front of it, and like that's just it lands right here, they're like new tire.
Yeah.
So they have brand new tires and they just throw them out. So back in like 2012, 2013, I had a Mercedes, and I was working for my dad, and there was this guy that worked at Mercedes in another place, whatever, and he'd sometimes come to the shop and do some work, whatever, and when I was running low, I'd be like, hey, man, you guys got any fucking, you know, good tires for, you know, whichever one I had at the time, and he was just like, oh, yeah, I'll bring them, and he'd bring them up by ones and twos, and we'd just stack them up, and then anytime I needed new tires, we had a tire machine, obviously, at the shop, so I just did it myself, and I'm like, bro,
free
perfectly
tire.
Fine tires, you know what I mean?
And here's the thing, when you have that, you're already at leverage because you already have a product that people want, right?
That they need.
Yeah. This is the product that they need. And
a lot of people they don't think about the tires, but it's like it's very dangerous.
You could run out of gas, but you still need tires like to get anywhere. So like, I saw another opportunity. I have a bunch of tires. I have a tire shop down the street that charges me $35 for a used tire. My tires are obviously better because I already know where they're getting. They're used tires already. They probably even... In South Central, they're known for painting tires to make them look newer.
What?
So I said, okay.
That's a fucking piece of shit. I've never heard of that before.
It's a thing here in LA. And it's not only in South Central. It's in the other shops. It's almost like Amra just to make them look better.
That is a real fucking piece of shit move. Holy fuck.
Yeah. So in my book, I'm like, okay, I know how people work. I've worked at a tire shop before, so I know the experience. So I'm like, okay. $50 a tire. I have a set of four. You want the set? I'll give it to you for $180. You pick it up. If you want to drop, I have a pickup truck. I can drop it off. I'll charge you $30 for drop off.
That's crazy.
And it happens occasionally. And here's another thing. My mom works at Amazon. You know how I told you that they just throw shit out?
Mm-hmm.
I have two dogs, big dogs, but they're on a barf diet, which is a biological appropriate raw food or something. Barf. I forget the whole. It's biologically
approved
raw food. No, it's actually raw food. So my dogs get daily a quarter leg, liver.
That's what I thought it was.
I thought it was like something to induce vomiting because maybe it's sick or something.
No, it's just the acronym that they use. It's just raw food. So liver and coconut.
Their dogs will be fine.
Well, yeah, they come from wolves, so yeah, technically they're not supposed to be eating kibble.
yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So my mom works at Amazon. Amazon apparently just throws shit out. So we took advantage of it, my mom. You know those blue ribbon dog food bags that are like 60 bucks or 70 bucks for like a 20 pound? It's triple the amount than a Pedigree. A Pedigree 35 pound bag, 28 bucks.
Pedigree is a piece of shit though.
Well, that's like, well, again, that goes into the price range. It's quality over quality.
I don't know. I don't actually know. My sister worked for like animal hospital for a little bit.
It's completely trash. Yeah, it's all carbs.
I don't even know.
Dogs don't even need to eat carbs. They're supposed to be on a protein diet. So they, a 60 buck bag she got for free. She got five of those bags.
Oh, hell yeah.
So what I do, I saw an opportunity. My dogs don't eat them, but they enjoy the quality of the food. So I kept one of the bags. I had them on and off on the barf diet and the kibble diet because my pitbull can't eat too much kibble because he gets rashes, which is the reason why he's on the barf. I made the switch because of him. That's another way I make money. Like, they sell for 60 bucks. I know that no one's going to come to me because they're already, I have them. They're not going to buy them for me brand new for 60 bucks. So I sell them for 40. I still make a profit. I got them for free.
It's all 100% profit, yeah.
Yeah. I made 160 off of four bags in a week. I mean, it's not a lot, but again, it just goes into the opportunity. Yeah, it's 160 bucks that I didn't have. And again, it's just an opportunity that I saw that my mom works at Amazon. Amazon just throws shit out because they're so big and they just shit money. I saw an opportunity to free food. I can sell it to people that want it. People want high quality food. They just can't afford it. Everyone wants high quality food. I don't see why anybody wouldn't want to eat organic.
Yeah, of course.
Right? If you can afford it, you would eat organic.
Yeah, no.
So that's the kind of mentality
hopefully,
went into.
I do hope Jeff Bezos listens to us. But with this, well, I think he's got enough to like, listen,
he doesn't give a shit.
Overlook this a little bit. Don't even worry about it, all right?
Yeah, and then, I mean, and that's not the only thing they throw away. Like, again, my dogs eat a lot of different, like, so my dog's food consists of like a quarter leg, raw quarter leg chicken, quarter pound of liver.
Yeah, but you know what's weird about, because we're talking about the Amazon throwing shit away, because I remember seeing that article about Walmart throwing all their shit away and how they were like stopping people from like taking.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's illegal to take things from them. Because technically, it's there. It's
private property.
It's private property. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time...
But it is...
You know, it's like...
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's definitely a slippery slope because...
Once you start giving this shit out for free and then now people are losing incentive to like go to... Why am I going to go inside and pay and wait in line? I can just... There are people that are willing to just... Look, I don't even have to go inside. I'll just go to the dumpster, pick out what I need and fucking go home. Because the food is perfectly good. It's all wrapped up. It's maybe closer to the expiration date than it should be, according to the manufacturer, to have it out on, you know, for sale on the floor or whatever. But it's tough. That's a slippery fucking thing.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, again, it just goes back to like, like the way my parents grew up. You know, they came here with nothing. So like, my mom, even though we're fine at home, she still goes to the food banks and gets
100%.
Food.
100%. Hell yeah.
She still goes to the food bank and gets food. Like that's nothing that stopped. Like especially right now, she's like, mijo. There's food here, but there's people starving out there, and I'm just supposed to like not take the food. We're gonna eat it, like we're not gonna throw it. Yeah, take advantage of this food, and why not? I was like, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So she goes every morning, and bro, she comes back with vegetables, peanut butter, and I'm like, they're just giving this stuff away, and then people are on the internet.
Where is this place again?
South Central. So there's several churches around where I live, several schools that are giving away free food. If you want an exact location, there's one off of Crenshaw.
Yeah,
I'll give you the address. I know a lot of locations are just giving out free food, and I'm just like, I see. This is another reason why I get off. A lot of reason I take a break from social media because it's very stressful, and a lot of people don't see that social media can be very stressful. Everything on social media is either negative, it's either tailored to be a little bit negative, or make you feel a certain way. It's based off of feelings.
It's mostly like if it's not negative, it's just self promotion. Yeah. Nobody's actually trying to help each other. Yeah. They're just like, I'm doing really well. You can do well too. Just work hard.
Yeah, just work hard, like, and you build
who are you actually helping?
An audience. It's just a popularity. It's a popularity contest.
What's the what was the name of the church?
I don't know the name of the church, but it's off of Crenshaw and Century. There's a West Athens Park there.
I couldn't look that up, but for anybody that's listening, if you need some help.
Yeah, if you guys need some help, there's food banks. I can even go as far as setting up some addresses in the description if you guys want. Because I mean, I'm from South Central, and there's a lot of food banks in South Central. Again,
so if you're it's a different demographic. South Central area, you got places to go get some
Get some food. Yeah, everyone needs food. I don't see why anybody, nobody wants to go get food.
Especially if it's free during these times.
Yeah, times are tough.
I know holidays are coming up too.
Holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. Tamales are going to be starting to get prepped.
Tamales?
Tamales. You like tamales?
Oh, we talked. Those were the wrapped in leaves, right?
Yeah, but not.
Oh, like, I got some. Oh, so.
Yeah, it depends where, like, what type they are because they're like corn and
no, as well. my mom's oh, Guatemalan tamales.
It's like banana leaves.
Well, there's chuchitos too, but those are I think those are dry leaves, but they're more of a little ball tamale.
Tamales aren't really my thing.
No, I love tamales.
Well, I had I don't know if we recorded or if we were recording, but I talked about it. So the first time that I had one was off of a food truck, right? So I was at the shop working. The guy drives up, and I was like, "Oh!" So he's a. This is Miami, right? So he's the dude is probably some Cuban guy, super cool. Like he came by all the time for years and shit. And so you know, one day he comes in and he has like this new thing. I was like, "Oh, what the hell is this?" He's like, "Oh, these are tamales." I was like, "All right, let me try them out." So I took it. I go back to my little area and I just bite into it.
Oh, come on. Then.
And I was like, oh, what the fuck is this shit?
You didn't take off the banana leaf already?
I didn't know you had to take the leaf off. So I just took like a big ass bite with the leaf on it and I just thought that that's the way it was supposed to be. And I was like, how the fuck does anybody. I spit it out. I threw the thing away. Yeah, I don't know how the fuck anybody likes this shit.
That whole texture would have been off of it. It's like really soft texture.
But it was also. Of biting a banana without.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, it's the exact same thing, actually.
It wasn't a lot of tech because it was in the back of a food truck. So it was all like not super squishy, but it didn't have a lot of the crunch that usually.
Well, you don't get any crunch from the tamales. It's usually just a soft masa.
But you know what? I think the whole experience sort of turned me off to the idea.
Yeah, I would have been turned off if
I'm sure they're either. Good, but not for me. You know? Yeah, it's like some people that they don't like hot dogs after they learn how
they're made or whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, take that. It's still, you know what? I don't give a shit.
It's another reason for me to eat it. What, you're telling me that's just going to go to the trash?
Are you just going
to
throw all this shit away? Nah, I'll eat this fucking thing. It tastes mine. I just don't happen to like the flavor of a banana leaf. So yeah. I'll just steer clear of that.
Some people don't.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
For normal people.
I don't know. It blew my mind off. I didn't know that people eat this shit.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Does your mom make tamales for her?
No.
Okay.
How long does it take?
Oh, it's a process. I would imagine. My mom starts. Well, it begins with going out and buying the equipment because you got to buy a bunch of supplies like banana leaves and stuff like that. So, my mom, at her pace, doing it by herself, 2 days at her pace.
It takes a while, huh?
Yeah, because first, it's mainly getting the masa down to the consistency that you're looking for with the right seasoning. After that, like it's like your recado or your sauce that goes on. I guess I would call it a sauce that goes on top of your masa. And then your choice of meat, depending on what kind of tamales you're making.
This is all alien to me. I don't know. As far as
you get pork, chicken,
options they make them.
Options are limitless, apparently.
We just heard about the
strawberry
the dessert ones that they have. Yeah. Which I'm not even
into one, and I feel like that sounds strange.
I'm not a dessert person, and
I think it's strange. But
yeah, but again, everyone has their opinion. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of strawberry, so I.
You guys ever had like a whole roasted pig?
No.
Oh my god, they're so fucking good, dude. Cubans are like very super ish, but more like not like Hawaiian.
How's it cooked? It's like kind of like on a.
So you can buy a box, like a big ass like Chinese box that's like made out of wood, right? I don't really remember exactly the dimensions. I can actually look it up, but so you buy a pig and you buy like this big fucking like wooden box, whatever. And you throw coals in there, whatever it was. I was too young to do it. Like, they did it a couple of times, but I was always too young to, like, really process what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just always saw the finished product. So, basically, you know, you put coals in there. You put the pig in, and I guess you season it or whatever. Cover it, and it just cooks all day long.
So it's like a slow cook. Yeah,
super slow cook. So, we did it one year for Christmas at the shop for, like, with all the guys and shit. So, in the morning, some of the mechanics, they brought the box, and then somebody brought the pig, I don't know, probably, you know, or my dad or whatever. And I just remember it was like the end of the workday, get some beers, everybody's like chilling, and we're about to go on like a little couple day break, whatever, because remember, this is the real world, not school, where you get 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, we're getting 4 days off or whatever the fuck was going on. And yeah, you just fucking take the cover off and everybody's just going at it. You know, you get bread and you just fucking pick it apart. So fucking
good. Oh,
that's the apple inside the...
We didn't do the apple. No, it wasn't a cartoon. It was real life. But people do that. No,
I've seen something similar.
When you have a bunch of fucking just guys, you know what I mean? It's literally just a bunch of dudes, you know what I mean? And they know obviously how to do it from their traditions and shit. So we were just...
You carved
it? What traditions? Yeah, yeah. Where are they from?
Cuba, fucking DR. Okay. All those kind of...
It sounds very familiar to like...
Those kind of people.
No, I mean... Those kind of... Because here, there's not a lot of... There is a population of like... Central and South American. I feel like I just wherever I was at, it was always more Caribbean or South American. There is like some Central American and stuff, but mostly yeah.
Well, there tends to be more South America,
Colombians
and stuff, on the east side. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's true.
That's like most of my friends are either Cuban or Colombian. Yeah,
yeah. I know a lot of people. I mean, I don't personally know, but I know that there's a lot of people like in New York, like that whole
Puerto Ricans,
Puerto Rican huge.
Friends and all this shit. Yeah,
that's pretty huge. Mm-hmm.
And they're cool too. And you know, it's funny that you don't really realize. I didn't know that they were considered loud.
They are.
I had no idea. Yeah. For me, I'm just hanging out with my friends, and then we went somewhere, and somebody kind of told me about it. How like, oh, Cubans are apparently loud or whatever. I was like, really? Oh, I didn't. I just. Thought that's my friend. He's just that's how he is.
That's how he is. You know yeah. I mean? Yeah, there's a certain
very loud, very confrontational.
I don't know about confrontation. Yeah. You know what? That's the thing. But people think they're confrontational. No, that's just how they talk.
Yeah,
it's just like really fast and blah, 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 and they're like loud and like boom, boom, boom.
No,
playing dominoes with them, the best. I fucking love it, dude. Playing dominoes always turns into a show.
The thing I've noticed because I used to work with an Argentinian. Mm-hmm. Their vocabulary is very direct, which I appreciate. It's not like...
They have a weird way of speaking Spanish, though.
Yeah,
I'm not even a Spanish-speaking person, but they have that list.
But they're straight to the point. Like, they're not about small talk. If you're going to have a conversation with them, it's going to be a thorough conversation. It's not going to be like, oh, how was your day? It was good. That's it. They're not going to ask you like that. They're going to have a conversation. At least the person that I met. It was more like, you know, I want to... Like, if we're going to... Like, it was lunchtime. And, oh, how was that lunch? Oh, it was good. And that was... That's basically it. Oh no, that this is kind of pasta. This is what I did. This is how I made it. Really, the whole story. I'm like, this is amazing. I want to have a conversation with you all the time because you can actually have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not like people that you ask them, hey, how's your day going?
Yeah, I'm there's not a lot of run around.
Yeah, it's like it's like, oh, it's good, and that's it. It's like, oh, you don't want any. You don't want to.
How about some detail?
You know? Yeah. If I'm,
you might. You, I feel like you click very well with Argentinians. You like pasta. That's like a big thing with them. I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Pasta.
Yeah. Pasta and like meats.
Oh,
barbecue meats.
We got meats.
The gabagool. There you go.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Some of this. Just for those that they can't see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait.
Hold on. Was it recording?
Yeah, it just. Oh. Yeah. The screen just went dark.
Oh, okay.
It goes dark after a while.
Oh, because of the battery. That's why.
Oh, how low is the battery?
No, the battery is fine. It's just, it gave that...
It's like that data, that saving power thing.
20% or 20% probably. So, but it's recording. We're good.
Yeah, like, that's the one thing I wanted to get into, barbecuing.
It lasts a lot longer than you would think. It's no reason to worry.
Well, we'll see.
How much time we got on the second part?
I don't know, because this thing kept recording.
Oh, okay.
You had a very interesting question.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to drop it because
I was just hearing you guys say
because I feel like we could just keep talking.
You guys will keep talking. I know it's my fault because I never intervened.
Jump in. What are some of these people? Who do you hang out with? Huh?
These people.
I hang out with everybody. Who are you hanging out with? Huh?
The people that are like that, like a very like a small talk. Like, how was your day? And I'll say, you know, today's today and tomorrow.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yesterday was yesterday. It is what it is.
Yeah. And I completely understand that. Kind of but there's sometimes like, okay, like, if I'm working, I don't really want to talk to you because I'm fucking working. Or even at work, like, sometimes that's another thing that I did get. You know, you're like, oh, you're very to yourself. You only talk when you're not working. I'm like, well, I'm working most of the time. And when I'm not talking.
Job, yeah.
And when I'm not working, it's just I want to actually have a conversation with someone because I'm not working.
Yeah, I think... Depending on what the job is, yeah, it is easy to get distracted. Because, like, if I was, like, working on a car or something, usually I'm, like, focused on, like, whatever I'm doing. And then I don't mind talking to somebody, but then thinking about it now, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get distracted. I'm like,
no, yeah.
I'm like, ah, but you know.
And think about it. Like, this was the time where I was exporting cars, where I was trying to move up. Like, in those 6 months where, you know, I was trying to get the extra $3, you know, that homie had promised, or my former manager at the time.
Homie had
the homie had.
We're getting serious. Now it's getting real. Yeah, getting
the
real.
Homie had told me he was going to shoot me an extra $3 in 6 months.
He's about to stop getting professional. You're like, this motherfucker owed me $80.
And completely, yeah.
You know who you are.
See, and the reason I had to focus is because... I had one accident, like I said. I had one accident. It was a $10,000 accident. That's the kind of business we were in. We move vehicles. Moving vehicles is really expensive. Like, it's just not one kind of vehicle. There's a variety of vehicles in there. And with one number, I can get one car shipped instead of, like, let's say, for example, it's supposed to go from New York to Bremerhaven. It goes New York, Australia. The amount of time that it has to, travel from New York to get to Australia is a ton. On top of that, once it gets there, there has to be certain, like, for example, Australia needs to have, like, fumigation, because you can't just send shit out to Australia.
Yeah,
shit needs to be fumigated. You got to clean it, depending on the season. You can't just ship shit out whenever you want. Yep. Also, paperwork has to follow through. So if the car gets there and it has no paperwork stating that it's supposed to be there,
send it right back.
Customs or the carrier can just keep the car there. Completely up to them. Yeah. Until they say, hey, you know what? It's free to go. Luckily, the way that this company had been in business, like, it still caught, I missed one digit. It went on the wrong container. Ended up in another place when I was supposed to end up in Bremerhaven.
That's all it takes, is that one digit and everything is fucked.
$10,000 because of that one digit that I missed. And I thought I was doing fine. I missed one digit. Because the thing is, there's so much paperwork that goes into it. Like, you got to copy and you got to... I mean, I'm pretty sure you go do a lot of... Do you do data entry? A lot of data entry?
I try not to.
Yeah, me either, but it's a pain in the ass.
For that reason, because you miss a number or... Because after, especially, like, looking at a computer for so long, mm-hmm. looking at a screen...
You get tunnel vision.
Yeah, you're like, smaller numbers that we have... Right, they all have, like, especially in court, they always have, like, the numbers down below.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in, like... thousands and hundreds of thousands to where it's like one mistake in the middle, one of those numbers is wrong, it's a whole different document.
It's completely filtered in a different
So it's just I get that. That's why I try not to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck it.
And me, the kind of person that I'm a multitasker, so if I have an opportunity to knock out things at the same time, because it's going to be basically the same thing, like, okay, I would always do that. Like, okay, I got three shipments or three containers going to Bremerhaven from New York. All right, cool. Let me call the carrier. Let me book these containers, get the space for them. Let me get in contact with my trucker, see if he can pull them what day. I'm going to knock these out in the next hour at the same time. So I go, and the only thing that would change is just a container number and the seal number. That's really what... Everything else is the process of saying contact custom, provide the same document, make sure the documents are there for the vehicle that's being exported. And that's it. So I will knock out sometimes, you know, in 1 hour, I will knock out three, because it's the exact same thing. The only thing that would change is the last container number. And that's when I dropped the ball, because I asked for more responsibility and they didn't want to give it to me. You think you're fucking cool because you can knock out the work in half the time?
Yeah, that doesn't mean shit, dude.
Well, that's been another episode of the RDG Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a like, and a comment below. Also, hit the notification button so you don't miss out on any of our latest content. You can follow us on Twitter and all audio platforms where podcasts are available. As always, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.